My name is Garland Robinson. A good number of Americans claim membership in some church, yet few subjects could be found that would interest them any less than church membership. Statements such as, join the church of your choice, and you don't have to be a member of any church to be a Christian or to be saved, are constant ingredients of denominational preaching and teaching. The very fact that the statements are uttered so often by religious leaders gives credence to them in the eyes of a lot of people, but such statements are not true. That is, they are not in the Bible. Christianity doesn't exist simply on an individual basis or even within an individual. It exists as a community, a fellowship of believers. There's no such thing as individual, private Christianity, for the demands of Christ make each Christian a part of that community of believers. It's a bad mistake to think of being a Christian without being a member of the church, for the church is a congregation of believers. And in the Scriptures, when people became Christians, they also became members of the church, for to do one is to do the other. The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. It is not men who join the church, it's the Lord who adds those who are saved to the church. Thus it was and is impossible for those who are saved to remain outside the church. They don't have anything to do with it. God puts them in the church. But let us ask then the question, how does one become a member of the church? Well, we learn that obedience of faith is what makes one a member. In Matthew 16:13, Jesus asked the apostles, whom say ye that I am? And the response came from Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, verse 16. And immediately Jesus blessed Peter for this statement of truth and then promised, upon this rock I will build my church, Matthew 16:18. Jesus had earlier told them all, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Here in Matthew 16 was the first recorded confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. It's not a coincidence that the church was promised just after Peter's confession of Christ. They are inseparably linked together. Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So to confess Jesus implies full obedience to him. If he is Lord, he has the right to direct our lives. He asks, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We read that in Luke 6 and verse 46. It is that obedience of faith that makes one a member of his church. When we turn to Acts 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. And at the conclusion of that sermon, the people were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2 and verse 37. And God said by the mouth of Peter, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That is verse 38. Then we read, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Verse 41. But then in verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. When those people received the remission of sins, they became members of the church. The process by which they accepted Jesus as the Savior was also the same process by which they were added to his church. Those who were saved and added to the church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers in verse 42. And then in verse 44 we read, and all that believed were together and had all things common. These people were not just individuals. They were now a group. they were continuing steadfastly with one accord. That is, they were together. The church in the New Testament is always associated with obedience to Jesus Christ. Those who obeyed Christ became members of His church and thereby were translated out of darkness into the marvelous light of God's Son. The Apostle Paul writes of God, "God who hath delivered us out of the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." Colossians 1 and verse 13. When one escapes darkness, that same process removes him from the kingdom of darkness and puts him into the kingdom of Christ, which is the church. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23 and verse 28. Peter writes, "Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light." 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. To be in the light is to be in fellowship with God, but to be in darkness is to be alienated from Him. 1 John 1 and verses 5, 6, and 7. In Ephesians 5, 8, we read, "The children of light are those who are in the church, which is His body." Ephesians 1 and verse 23. Now, the completely organized church is revealed in the Bible. There are many who will admit the importance of the church of which we read in the Bible, then will turn around and deny that such even exists today. But we need to remember that God hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. The inspired Scriptures furnishes the man of God completely unto every good work, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. The church, according to God's eternal purpose, is thus revealed by God in His Word. The church, complete and organized, is found in Scripture. Jesus built His church, Matthew 16, 18. He purchased it with His own blood, Acts 20, 28. And He adds the saved to it, Acts 2 and verse 47. When people are saved today by the blood of Christ, they're not added to some other church, but to His church. That is, the church that Jesus built and purchased with His own blood. We read that the worship of the church is spelled out in the Scriptures. We also read of the organization of the church that is revealed in Scriptures. The mission of the church is revealed. The character of the church and her members are revealed. When Paul wrote, "All the churches of Christ salute you," Romans 16, 16, there was an identification made in the minds of his readers of that day. They knew that church because they knew Christ. To be in Christ is to be in the church. To be a Christian and a church member are identical. It's one and the same. Before the Lord's departure from this world, Jesus told the apostles, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. Thus, when the gospel was preached, they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls in Acts 2 and verse 41. Verse 47 says, "Where the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." They became Christians, members of the church, and it's as identical, it's the same thing. Those in the churches of Galatia were Christians. They were children of God. We read, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Galatians 3, verse 26 and 27. Again, the same process that made them children of God made them members of the church. That was and is the pattern revealed in the Scriptures. Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church, Colossians 1:18. He is the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5:23. It is His body which is the church, Ephesians 1 and verse 22. It is that which He purchased with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. And He adds the saved to it, Acts 2 and verse 47. So today, friend, if you will put your faith, your trust, your confidence, if you will rely upon Jesus Christ, your faith will allow you to fully comply with the conditions, the plan of salvation. That involves repenting of your sins. Repentance is simply a change of mind. You change your thinking, your attitude. In so doing, that will lead to a change of conduct, a change of life. We read in Luke 13:3, where the Lord said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." In Acts 17 and verse 30, there was a time that God overlooked ignorance, but no longer. Now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Upon your repentance, you can confess faith in Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, "Whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I also confess before My Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny Me before men, him will I also deny before My Father which is in heaven." Romans 10, 9 and 10 says that, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." When Philip was teaching the man from Ethiopia, Acts 8:37 says, the man responded, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Upon that confession of faith, you're then ready to be immersed into water for the remission of your sins. John the Baptist taught remission of sins in water baptism, Mark 1 and verse 4. Jesus likewise teaches remission of sins in water baptism. That's what was stated on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "Baptism also doth now save us." That's what the command of Jesus was. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." When you go down into that water, you're the old man of sin. You come up out of the water, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Romans 6 and verse 4 and 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. My name is Garland Robinson. Thank you for listening.